Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, so football show coming up in an hour. Kevin Kilbane will be with us to give his thoughts on the Declan Rice situation. We'll have Shane Supple as well on the eve of the League of Ireland season. Lawrence Donegan will join us later in the hour to talk golf. They're at Riviera this week in LA. Tiger Woods playing alongside Rory McIlroy. There's a lot going on with scroungy Matt Cooper. Wow, libelous. Dump it. Bloody hell, I'll be getting a letter in the post about that one. Matt Cooper, I'm sure, is a very generous man. Without question. There's no doubt about it. JP? Yeah, JP's not so sure. No, he's a very generous man, Matt Cooper. Definitely buy a drink in the night out. No question about it. Would pay his caddy more than $5,000 if he won $1.3 million, which is what Matt Cooper's done. He's been trying to explain himself. So too has Sergio Garcia after chopping up the greens in Saudi Arabia. So we'll chat to Lawrence Donegan about that between now and 9 o'clock. Just to bring you up to date with the latest in the football before we get to Doughty on the hurling. Arsenal have been beaten in the last 32 of the Europa League. Their first leg tie. They lost 1-0 against Bate Borisov. Two more games involving British teams just getting underway. Chelsea are away against Malmo. Celtic at home against Valencia. There's, what, 2-3 minutes gone in both those matches. We'll bring you up to date if there's any goals in either of them. But we want to talk hurling because there's been a lot going on in the Football League so far this season in terms of rule changes, in terms of what's going on with Dublin and Kerry and Mayo. We haven't spent a huge amount of time talking hurling, but we're going to change that right now because Doughty Regan is on the line. Evening, Doughty.
Good evening. How are you?
So it is always a difficult time of the year to talk about what's happening because you're probably getting a game in Saturday, Sunday. You're relying on highlights of other sides. But the lay of the land at the moment is that Limerick top Division 1A, the All-Ireland champions, starting in the right fashion. They've won both their games so far against Wexford and Tipperary. Cork have lost both their games, while Kilkenny, Tip, Wexford and Clare have all won one match, while in Division 1B, Waterford and Dublin have won both their games. Laois an Offaly beaten in both matches. Carlow got that draw against Galway, while Galway have also won a match. So what are your main takeaways from the opening couple of weeks, Doughty?
Limerick are the standout, I suppose. Carlow's performance against Galway got a certain level of attention, but I mean that's been the result of the Allianz League's football and hurling so far for me. That's an extraordinary performance. That, you know, a handful of clubs and to go up to Parnell Park, run Dublin to 6 points and to play really well against Galway and come back from a 5 or 6 point deficit to draw it up. I mean that's an extraordinary performance, to be honest with you, for me so far. So it really makes it very interesting in that particular league, to be honest, because they effectively probably won't be in a relegation playoff, which ultimately leaves Laois and Offaly, and they're playing on Saturday night. And outside of that, you're really looking between the big three there, Waterford, Galway and Dublin. And, you know, Galway haven't dropped points there. That's they'd have preferred not to have done that. In Division 1, in the premium division, I think it's been very interesting. I mean, Limerick is All-Ireland champions, without a doubt, and obviously are the standout package. I mean, their performance against Tipperary in the second half sent out reverberations for me, and if it hasn't done, it should do from the other contenders, because in every aspect of where Limerick are and what Limerick are doing at the moment, that was pretty extraordinary, that second half.
In what
a lot
way?
Of people seemed to... Well, it was the sheer dominance. Man for man, it was the sheer dominance. It was the strength, the physicality. It was the power. It was the confidence. It was the depth in the squad and the depth in the bench that they had. It was the surety that they played with. For All-Ireland champions, I mean, there doesn't seem to be any residue there whatsoever of tiredness or a lack of sharpness or let's, you know, try and blood as many of the squad players as we can and target kind of May, the latter end of May for championship. This is a team that's going out to win every single game. And I applaud them for taking that route and that stance on things, because winning just creates an incredible mentality. Physically, the physique of the Limerick players hasn't dropped one iota in the space of the last 4 or 5 months. There's been no evidence whatsoever that the celebrations have in any way sated the appetite. And I've said this before, I don't recollect seeing a bunch of players or management so focused after winning an All-Ireland, for particularly a team that hadn't won an All-Ireland final in 45 years or so. Again, an extraordinary feat. I mean, I looked at the role of honour this evening. If you look at it, aside from the 93 All-Irelands that the Big Three have amalgamated, the rest of the teams put together have won 38 since the inception of the association. So if you factor Laois 1-1, London 1-1, Kerry 1-1, Offaly 1-4, teams that you can just throw your hat at it going forward, who won't be contenders. Waterford, extraordinarily, have two All-Ireland titles, yet they seem to be on the periphery for the last 15 years. Yet it's quite extraordinary to think that they have just two. So without the likes of Clare, Limerick, Galway, to a lesser extent Dublin, you can look at our game and say, Colm O'Rourke's point about football in Dublin is has no relevance to me whatsoever. There'll be a lot more contenders in football going forward and has been than there has been in hurling since the foundation of the GAA, which is more of a worry. I just thought that was an interesting point to note this evening. But the package for me that stands out so far, without a doubt, is Limerick.
Yeah, and Andrew O'Shaughnessy had a comment on that there's a thin line between confidence and arrogance, and I definitely think they're on the right side of confident this year. And that goes more than ever for All-Ireland champions, that you can go, firstly, you can enjoy the celebrations a bit too much, but you can also come back and think, yeah, we're the big dogs, and you'll get an almighty land at some stage during the year. Or you can have the other attitude, which I think in sport is harder to find, which is, we're going to go and try and be a legacy team. We're going to go and maybe not be the Kilkenny team of a decade ago, but we're going to be a Limerick side like none that have ever gone before, be it 45 years or anything.
That's a really interesting point. I mean, if you remember, as we do, Kilkenny's period of dominance, when obviously from 7, 8, 9, those great years were the one of four in a row, ultimately taken down in 2010 by Tipperary. But I always got the feeling at that particular time with that Kilkenny team and with Brian Cody, they knew their place in Kilkenny history. They knew their place. They were in a great place in life in general. And the wins, and I think Jackie Tyrrell has often spoke about this before, I know Tommy certainly has done, the winning on the day was an absolutely huge occasion for the players. But what Brian Cody seemed to instill in the Kilkenny players was the enjoyment they took from women, the legacy that they were creating. And that means that when you're training throughout the course of the year, everything you do, you look forward to your training sessions as much as the match, because you're a band of brothers, these guys that you're winning this unique amount of silverware with, and what it does for you in your life and the opportunities it creates for you from a work point of view and all of these things that you can gain from outside of hurling. You put them all together and you mould them together into a single entity, which is, it's an extraordinary, epic time in your life. And when you win as much as Kilkenny did and as much as the Dublin footballers have been doing now, you are aware that you're in a very specific time in your life, an extraordinary time in your life. And I think Cody and Jim Gavin, Dublin's football manager, I think these are an amazing individuals who can keep their players grounded, but at all times letting them know the importance of what they're doing in their life. Mm. And I think Limerick, and it's to be judged, and we'll see. But I actually have a feeling that this Limerick team have that mentality after winning one, that they have an opportunity of greatness, not against Kilkenny or anyone else, but within their own county, the history that they possibly can. I may be proved to be wrong on this, but I have a great belief in what Limerick can achieve.
From what you've seen of them from their two games, and you're obviously impressed with the second half in particular against Tipperary, are they doing anything different from last year?
I think it's the confidence levels that they're playing with at this time of the year. Like, Limerick weren't playing with this confidence level last year, and I watched them last year. And that's understandable. They were on the periphery of things for the previous years. They would have had a semblance of belief that they were capable of doing something. They're now playing like a team who've achieved that, who've done that, who've gone to the mountain, who've achieved the Holy Grail, and it's sitting well with them. And they're hurling like a team that realise how good they are, how good they can be, but with their feet on the ground. And they're going out, to me, without a doubt, they're going out to win games, constantly win, and get into this habit of winning everything that they can. And someone mentioned earlier to me, is there a risk they could peak too soon? I think it's a greater risk to be selective as to when you try and peak and when not, because already they've sent a message out to Tip. And I think that Tipperary after last weekend may very well have looked at Limerick in a different manner than they did since last August, who probably rated them as a very good side. But until you're on the end of what Limerick dished out to them, I think Liam will look at it, Liam Sheedy will look at that and may have been slightly taken aback at the manner in which Tipperary or Limerick went to town in the middle of the second half. I think it may have taken him by surprise, up close and personal, just how good this Limerick side are and can be.
From Tipperary's point of view then, with Liam Sheedy back, and he says that the game has evolved again since he was last managing in it, says that, look, the reality is I play with six backs, that's what he's going to do every day. Felt that last season Tip struggled because they'd obeyed the rules that they played three matches for the clubs during the break, and that put them at a huge disadvantage by the time they came round to Munster. They obviously have injury problems already at Tipperary, several of which are going to be out for the entire season. Is it too early to suggest that Sheedy's turning things around, or what sort of impact he's making?
Well, I definitely think it's too early to suggest he's turning things around. I think what he's done has been, from his own perspective, I thought it was a really interesting comment to come out with last week, to say Tip suffered on the basis that they abided by the rules last year. I don't necessarily agree with him. I think that the squad and the depth of squad that they had last year, bearing in mind they got to a league final, and they carried a lot of injuries into that game, and even though they were beaten by Kilkenny, I thought they shipped too much from the media, to be honest with you. I thought they were written off pretty quickly after that. I think it was proximity to championship, but they still got to the final. And to me, I factored in that a lot of the good guys were coming back from injury, and I really fancied that they were going to be a huge threat last year to reclaim the crown that they had in 2016. So to that end, they were a huge disappointment. Was it because they played league? I think Liam has basically made excuses a little bit for them last year. And it's an important thing for a manager coming back like Liam to have everyone on board in a very tight unit. So straight away, a comment like that unites players around him that he's not selling them out. He attached no blame specifically to the players. And that's crucial because he's a very smart individual. He's aligned himself with people around him that are very astute people in the world of business, who are having an impact and an influence in relation to the whole project, which is Tipperary Hurling. So whatever happens this year, at the end of this year, there's no get out of clause. Either they're good enough or they're not good enough, because they'll be wanting for nothing from a preparation point of view. And I applaud them for being able to bring that to this group of players. Will it be enough to see them over the line? I'm not as confident as I would have been 12 months ago. A lot of that is to do with the fact that I still think Galway are superb and will be out to reclaim the crown. I think Limerick, as you know, are superb. I think Clare are very good. I think Kilkenny, I'm not 100% certain about. I think they have huge potential. I don't know, are they yet ready? I think he's done an extraordinary job, like Derek McGrath had done previously, in unifying Kilkenny and getting the winning mentality back very, very quickly after the breakup of great sides. So Derek and himself deserve, it's a measure of how brilliant they are as managers to do that so quickly. But I still think they're just a little bit behind the eight ball still. Limerick are tipped to me a little bit of an enigma so far. Definitely too soon to say he's turned it around, though.
Yeah, it was interesting to read some of his comments when you'd mentioned backroom team and things that are done behind the scenes. And listen, there's the initial backroom team, the likes of Tommy Dunn and Darry Egan alongside him. And there's a greater thing then with another 15, 20 people involved and the investment that's needed that within the county, saying how he was reading the Limerick Leader before last year's All-Ireland final, and he looked at John Kiely's backroom team at Limerick and realised the sheer numbers they had was very different to what he would have had the last time he was involved in Tipperary. When you look at the figures that are there around him, the likes of Tommy Dunn, the likes of Darry Egan, how much of an influence can they have?
Well, when you get people like that and are very, very highly rated, what it does is the dynamic it creates within the team and the panel, number one, is a professionalism, that we have everything that we want. And Liam made a kind of a tongue-in-cheek comment that the difference between now and 2010, when he was there, was now they need a second bus to bring everybody that's involved. I mean, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek and a little bit witty, but effectively he's not wrong. I mean, you go back to Clare winning the All-Ireland 2013, and I was sitting with the guys. I think Joe was on the day looking out and been pretty much amazed at the backup that Clare had, the package that they had. And that's the way it's been. Cody's is the one to me that whatever he has involved, well, you certainly didn't see massive numbers on the pitch. Limerick had a big backroom team. Tip certainly have. And that's the way it's gone. So I suppose to answer your question,
I guess that's almost a mental thing as well for the players, that you don't want to be thinking other counties of something that we don't.
Well, I went to see Offaly in Dublin in Borden Amona Park last Sunday week, and I stood 10 steps behind the Offaly management. And I took a look up behind me into the stand where there was, you know, a couple of guys on the earphones, and that's it with Offaly. You know, that's what we have. Mm. And that's the reality. So straight off, you are looking at a scenario that you have the haves and the have-nots. And that's not attaching blame anywhere. That's just the reality and that's the facts. And the haves have a way better chance of success than the have-nots. And that's not going to change. So people can put it down to financial clout. Financial clout allows management teams to put structures in place to be as professional as possible. Davy had it in Clare. Davy has it in Wexford. The Dublin hurling team will have it as long as there's an interest in hurling in Dublin, because that's a machine that will continue to roll. Kilkenny will have it. I mean, they're unique to play one game. Cork will have it. Well, Cork would have had it for years, but after the debacle for the last period of time, who knows? And that's another day's kind of conversation. So there is that massive divide in hurling that tends not to get spoken about. Like I say, a handful of counties have won it 93 times. The big three have won it 38 times, the rest of them together, and rule out a load of them from that Leash and so on and so forth, Offaly, Kerry, London, who'll never win it again. So we're operating from a very small pool, and the haves are the ones who are going to continue to win it.
I want to play a clip from the Hurling Show, which was live today, as always, on a Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock on all our social channels. You can watch it back at offtheball.com. Shane Stapleton was alongside Will O'Callaghan and Michael Verney. Galway against Dublin this weekend in Division 1B. The lads were discussing that. Obviously, it should be an interesting game in many ways for Matty Kenny.
Matty Kenny will certainly want to go and prove a point. Obviously, I played under him for 5 years with Coola. And I know he will see this as a challenge to go back and beat his home county. You know, I mean, you have to remove the emotion here. You want to go back and beat your home county, don't you?
A challenge is one thing. They have a great chance of getting promotion if they win as well. Like, so there's a couple of carrots dangling in front of him, yeah. And, like, you're not going to say it outwardly, but, yeah, he would have been hurt that he didn't get the Galway job. He would probably be a bit hurt that he had to go somewhere else to go into inter-county management. And I'm sure he's not going to broadcast it or tell us or anything like that, but I'm sure he'd love to get one over them. Yeah, definitely. And by all accounts, like when he was in with Anthony Cunningham, he was very well regarded as the coaching work he did under him. It's unfortunate maybe for him that he had to go somewhere else to get into inter-county management, but who knows, that could lead to very exciting things for Dublin as well.
Mm. Defensive challenges as well. We've got a video of Eamon Trollier Dillon, the night before one of the matches recently. So we don't have the video, but anyway, he had just had his second child.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Five in the morning, he puts up a video of basically him being woken up by the baby, and then he goes out and I think he scores a goal that evening anyway, so no big deal to
Trollier. Him staying fit is massive. I think he's a really good forward for them. He's had troubles the last couple of years.
He had something very similar to what, do you remember when John O'Shea got a dead leg against I think it was France in that Henri handball game.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was out for about 6 months, so it was a dead bone, dead leg, and it ended up calcifying, and that kept him out for a long time. Now, I don't know if Dillon's was exactly the same, but he essentially had the same sort of thing. It was a dead leg and there was calcification. He's back, so that's huge. Sean Tracy's back, Darragh O'Connell's back, Mark Shute's back if he can get himself fit. He was struggling with a foot injury there recently. So that is huge for him, because Pat Gilroy did a lot of work last year and got a solid foundation, got the players very fit, and I'm not saying they were unfit, but they looked really fit, working really hard. It's kind of set up for Matty, you know, lucky general coming in at the right time, maybe.
Playing Galway at an interesting time as well, because Galway would have been expected to blow their first two opposition away. Like, they won by less than 10 points against Leash, they're held against Carlow the last time around. They've obviously started a little bit sluggishly. Dublin have looked impressive enough. You know, they've registered two, you know, pretty, I won't say facile wins, but like two, obviously, they've got the victories that they were expected to get. Mm. And now might well be a good time, unless Galway have a fight back in them after what happened and maybe the criticism they've taken from Carlow. This mightn't be a bad time to play against Galway. Mm. They're definitely not hitting top gear yet.
Dahi Regan is still with us. Dahi, are the cards falling quite nicely for Matty Kenny in that they get a good start to the league campaign, and also he's had something that Pat Gilroy didn't have last season and they haven't had for a couple of seasons, which is the cooler players available at this time of the year? involved in training as much as anything else, because that's probably something that doesn't go really noticed, is that like they're bringing the quality of training up for everybody else, I'd imagine, week in, week out.
Yeah, a year or two is a short time in hurling because, you know, 2 years ago, over 2 and 3 years ago, we were looking at this Dublin squad and we were despairing as to what was gone wrong after the Dalo years, because they were as low an ebb as they'd been for 10 years. And here we are, in many respects, eulogising them now. Number one, I agree that Matty Kenny was the right guy, and I felt that he was the right guy. He's very, very astute, and Kula were superb in the manner that they hurled. There's no denying that, and I think more than just privately, Matty Kenny will say he was absolutely devastated he didn't get the Galway job, because many would argue he was the brains behind the style of play that they played. I've never agreed with that. I think Anthony Cunningham was one of the most underestimated managers ever. He's a proven winner, and he's proven it previously in club football and now with Roscommon at an early juncture. You know, beware the quiet man, as they say. Anthony Cunningham is a fantastic manager. Having said that, Matty Kenny is a gentleman I rate very highly. The only thing he lacks compared to what Dalo had is this aura about him, and that's understandable. Not everybody has that Dalo had it. So Dalo was the right man at the time when he came to Dublin. He raised the profile, and he had a bit of a swagger about him, which in a good way. And Anthony Daly loved his players. And you'll never forget when they won the provincial title, the camera on Daly on the pitch, tears flowing down his face. That's sincerity from Anthony Daly. That's what it brings. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and his players know that, and they see it, and they give him everything. Now, the Dublin players, this year, it's a crucial year. All the boys are back. Liam Rush went off against Offaly a couple of weeks ago. Danny Sutcliffe is back. He wasn't mentioned in that clip early on. I think Dublin are potentially in a very, very good place. And I think they need to keep winning after the previous few years. Galway don't necessarily need to be doing as well in the league, to be honest with you, because there's such a sprinkling of class throughout that Galway team. Come Championship, they are serious contenders. So Dublin are going the right way about it. And I watched them against Offaly, and they dissected Offaly when they had to in the second half. I was very impressed with Dublin. I think there's a huge potential there, and I think they have a great manager with them.
On Galway then, because as you say, listen, the draw against Carlow was probably the result of the league so far. Do you think because of the new Championship structure, which is still, it's only its second season, it's still in its infancy, that maybe they're looking at it slightly differently in terms of how they try and peak? Now, I say that, they didn't do particularly well in the league last season either. They lost their couple of big matches along the way against Limerick and against Wexford. But do you think maybe they're just trying to peak a little bit later in the summer? Or am I being too kind to them?
Well, I don't think they're putting everything into the league and going out to try and win the league. And I think Micheál is dead right to do that. It reminds me of Dublin footballers last weekend. You know, on one hand, you had people saying Limerick's wellness and fitness proved the difference between themselves and Tipperary. Listening to the Dublin-Kerry game last weekend, when Dublin were coming back, they were saying that, you know, Dublin's wellness fitness was going to outlast Kerry. And Jim Gavan is interviewed afterwards and he says, Kerry have done more. Now, 2 points to that. Jim Gavan is a very smart man, or he's pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. Dublin are not trying to win the league. Dublin are gearing for the Championship in football to peak at the right time, because professional people are running a professional team and they know what the body can take. From a Galway perspective, I suspect the same thing as well. He will trawl, he will see what's there, but the core group of players in Galway are the same players that potentially can deliver Liam McCarthy again. You don't need to take a scalpel to this Galway team. The ability is there, and they nearly got over the line last year, and they didn't even play well in that All-Ireland final. So I think he's tailoring their fitness, and everything has been tailored to the beginning of Championship. And it's a well-run crew by a very smart manager who knows what he's looking for, and he'll know when he wants them to hit the ground running. It depends on whether the ability is not in question, is if the desire is there. Because if the desire is there from Galway, everything else is in place. And there are 4 or 5 teams that potentially could win this All-Ireland final. It's that close. But for me, the top two, for the start of the year and from what I've seen to date, irrespective of Galway and Clare, because the same crew of players are there with Galway, they're serious contenders.
One team we haven't mentioned, just briefly before we go, are Waterford, who Tommy Walsh has been talking very highly of. He feels that they're very much dark horses to win an All-Ireland this year. with Derek McGrath leaving, with the impact that maybe Pádraig Fanning can bring. Where do you stand on that?
I don't stand with Tommy on it anyway, to be honest with you. I don't see a basis for it. And thinking about it this evening, Waterford have won 2 All-Ireland titles in their history. They're like Newcastle in soccer in that they're kind of everybody's favourite team outside of your own county. Mm. And that's understandable because of what they've given and the heartbreaks that they've had along the way. Human nature dictates that there's a sympathy towards them. But Pádraig Fanning knows sympathy wins nothing. My argument as to why I don't see them as contenders is, and I've gone on record many times to say, what Derek McGrath did when he came in with a team that was breaking up, instead of them dropping down the echelons and the pecking order, he instilled this incredible discipline in them, this ruthlessness in not accepting defeat, playing in a particular brand and making them so competitive within a short period of time that they contended in an All-Ireland final. To do what he did is why he is considered a superb manager. And here's my reason for suspecting that they will not be contenders this year. Is one, they're operating in a division below. When you're coming in with a new manager, he'll probably want to change things up. He'll look at where they came up short, and I've always believed they came up short because at the end, Derek just didn't trust enough to believe that in a shootout they could beat anybody. So he maintained the, let's say, slightly defensive mode rather than take the shackles off. That's a personal view I've always held.
I think both yourself and Tommy were pretty consistent on that throughout the championship.
Yeah, so my point is this. One, they're coming out of the lower division. So they're a team that actually do need to have a good league campaign. I think if they were in the first division, top division, I think that they would struggle. And if they struggled, I think it could be a blow for them coming into the championship. The downside to being in the lower division is they will hockey some of the lesser teams, as they've done with my own county, incredibly emphatically. But I think it's not a good preparation going into the championship because he needs to change the style. I think we acknowledge that. But changing the style against teams who are nowhere near the level of the top teams, I think he will go into the championship undercooked, trying to play a system that suits him, and he hasn't had a chance to modify it against the top teams. And that is where I believe he could be found out.
All right, Dahi, great stuff as always.
Pleasure, guys.
Well, we'll have a chance to talk a bit more about that with Dahi, with Tommy Walsh, with Derek McGrath. Next Wednesday night, we're going to be at the Royal Marine Hotel in Dunleary. We're going to be there for a fundraiser. It's an evening for Amanda in association with Coola GAA Club. There are still a couple of tickets left if you get on to clubhurlingcoola@gmail.com. They're only 20 quid. It's a really good cause. Kieran Donaghy, Sean Boylan going to be there as well. It's going to be a cracking night, so do join us for that. Latest in the football, still scoreless between Celtic and Valencia. There is half an hour gone in that game at Celtic Park, and also no goals so far between Malmö and Chelsea. We're back talking golf next.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.